Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back with you to talk about 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, week number two, and a lot to talk about as so many of our couples are meeting up for the first time, but it is not the first time I'm meeting up with Mr. 90 Day Fiancé. It's Puya Zamfikili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Rob, better than a lot of these people, to be honest. That's not saying much, but myself and I, I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, happy to talk about some meetings of these couples that have been just talking on the FaceTime, and now so many of them are all, everybody's headed to the airport.
Yeah, this was a big, like, Amazing Race type week where we saw a lot of airport scenes, a lot of people on
flights. First team to arrive.
We did get that. We did get a confirmed first place out the gate here. And then a couple that are still straggling along.
Yeah, Gino and Jasmine are in first place.
Makes sense. They are definitely the stars of the show, I would say, at this point, two episodes in.
Yeah, so far so good. And we have maybe one partner MIA for the future, but we will talk about it all here on 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Day. Hope you've been enjoying the coverage of the brand new season. Puya, I thought we had a lot of fun last week.
We definitely did. I mean, that's the thing with this cast, too. Right out the gate, I enjoyed them a lot. It's the first impression has been great. And if this episode's any indicator, it's going to continue being good. So it's been fun. Week one was good. Let's see how week two goes. I have a feeling it's going to be more of the same.
Okay. Make sure you don't miss any of our 90 Day Fiancé coverage. We're here in the Rob Is a Podcast main feed for now for this season. But in the future, we want to make sure you're subscribed. robhasawebsite.com/90dayfeed so you don't miss anything that Puya is doing in the 90 Day Fiancé universe. And Puya, are the rumors true that once again you will have coverage of 90 Day The Single Life at the end of this episode?
Absolutely. They put out another episode. I've watched it. I'm going to talk about it. And it's going to be... Rob, it's going to be great for the listeners. As a viewer, it's been rough. It's been...
Yes. But do you get into that? So there was a lot of news stories this week about the woman from 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life, who ends up having capturing her flatulence in a jar and then selling them to people.
Yes, I have tipped off the listeners to this. I've not dove in too deep on like the quarterly figures, but I've definitely let them know that this is definitely a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Stephanie's out here making bank and doing it while, you know, eating food and then discreetly using the scents for jars.
It's side hustle.
Listen, yeah. A big side hustle. You know, I'm myself a more of a candle guy, but hey, whatever makes the smell.
Whatever. I guess so. Yeah. So there you go. All right. So check that out at the end of this podcast coverage of 90 Day, The Single Life. But I guess this week we should pick things up with Gino and Jasmine. And I think TLC, they know what's up because we kicked off week two with Gino and Jasmine.
It was the right call, and we're making the right call talking about them first too. It's just you can't take your eyes off of these two because this is not a situation. They're both on another level of odd and their exchanges are odd. And it's just going to be, well, we got a little taste of what they're going to be like in person together, Rob. And that just made me want to get episode three. Now I'm very excited to watch Gino and Jasmine.
Yeah. I have no idea where this story is headed. And I feel like that with some of our other couples, like I think I have a pretty good idea, like where things are headed, but this one to me could go spin out in 12 different ways.
It really could. I feel like I don't necessarily know. I don't think they're a good match for each other, first off, but I think they like each other very much. I think they're going to fight for each other. And I think there's going to be a lot of speed bumps on the road ahead, which will be fun for us. But Similarly to you, I couldn't definitively tell you I can see the last chapter mm-hmm. for them. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So last week we spent a lot more time with Gino. And this week we sort of like flipped the script because then we end up picking things up with Jasmine as Gino is on his way to Panama to go and visit with Jasmine. And so we get sort of a little bit more of Jasmine's backstory. We hear about her kids. She has a son who has a condition. Are we clear about what condition her son has?
I don't know definitively what that condition okay. is. All we know is that this COVID time has been tough for her son.
Yeah.
And so she's agreed
Big
with
same.
Her mom to let...
Big same, Jasmine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you and your son's not doing great with the COVID.
I was just talking about me personally, but yeah, probably. Yeah. You know, they've, you know, I think they've been fine. It's been more me. But yeah. Anyway, so we find out Jasmine, she is tired of dumbass men. Okay. That's why she found Gino.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone needs to tell Jasmine she's really rounding up her dumbass men alliance here because Gino might be more of the same. I don't know, Jasmine. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a woman who is clearly in the market for not a dumbass, I'm not sure Gino would have been my pick.
No, Gino goes undrafted in that draft. Like, you know, round seven, no round eight.
He will not go a dumbass draft.
Yeah, exactly. So it's fascinating that this is the one. It was interesting, though, Rob, because we learned that she thinks Gino's very smart because obviously he is an engineer. This mm-hmm. we know. But she also says that he doesn't. We were very different. His diet's not great.
No.
She's never seen him without his stupid hat, which I didn't realize that he's never shown her the top of his head. Ever.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. She never saw him without the stupid hat.
That's wild mm-hmm. because we did get some responses, Rob. Some people did reach out to be like, you're more naked with socks on or with hat on.
Okay, well, this is perfect because later on in the episode, she tells him that he will be naked and not wearing the hat later. So that I feel like that Jasmine is on my or I guess that no. So you felt like that you are
More naked with socks on.
More naked with socks on. So man, that might be okay with Jasmine.
I think she'd take that. I think she'd take that because ultimately, I'm telling you, feet more often than not getting that much attention when it comes to these things. So it's all about that head.
I guess so. That's what I hear. That's what the word is. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's Gino and Jasmine. Something else we learned about Gino and Jasmine. We saw a little bit of this last week, but they have something special and unique about their relationship. They do the two-way baby talk.
Yeah, so they've definitely dove into Mike Bloom's chest of baby talk, and they've really co-opted it for their own because it's literally a act they do where she talks baby talk to him, and then he talks baby talk back, and they find it endearing. They like it.
Yeah, so we see Jasmine receive a message from Gino. Here's Gino's message for Jasmine.
Who's my little baby? Who's my little baby?
This is Gino talking, okay? This is this is not Jasmine leaving a message for Gino. This is a 51-year-old man who talks who talks like this.
Who's my little baby? Who's my little baby? Who's my pretty bonita?
Me.
Latina. Hot Latina.
Who's my little baby?
Who's his girlfriend? Who's my baby?
Who's my little baby? And then wants her back. He wants her to say it to him. He's a little baby.
He would like it to be reciprocated, Rob. That's the
I
way
don't
want to
be a little baby.
No, I was going to say, if your co-host greeted you like that, would you reciprocate or would you be out
of my many calls? I'm trying to think of who I would want to have call me the little baby. None. And I don't know, maybe Akiva. I don't know.
He'd be your little baby, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be a little baby, and I don't want to call anybody a little baby.
I feel like I'm on the same page with you. This makes, and I co-host the podcast with my wife, and I'm okay with not doing this. I'm very okay with it.
Yeah. So, no, hard pass.
Who's my little baby? Who's my little baby?
Isn't it weird? Because let's fast forward, right? Yes. They get married. They tie the knot. They have their own little baby.
Oh, I think you're saying that at the wedding are the vows in the baby talk voice.
I honestly.
Who takes this man to be their lovely wedded wife?
They get the master of ceremony to do it as well. Everyone's just baby talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It's just it's one of them things where I don't want to talk to my baby the way I would talk to my, partner. I just feel like that's strange for me. Mm-hmm. So it is strange that this is a direction it's taking, because I just can't picture them. Then they can't do baby talk with their baby. They have to like do rugged, like deep voice.
With the baby.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you eat your vegetables like that? Well, that's mm-hmm. probably what they're going to have to use for the baby.
Yeah. Well, we know that Gino is not going to be too worried about the kids eating the vegetables. Maybe Jasmine.
Jasmine will be. Yeah. Gino will be like, did you eat your Salisbury steak yet?
Mm-hmm.
Or down the chocolate milk now.
Yeah. Okay. So Jasmine, she is a adventurous person. She likes to try new things, and she likes to try new things sexually also. She might have some things planned for Gino.
Yes, she mentions that she hopes Gino is sexual because she would like to explore and do stuff, and then listed a thing that she would want to do to him that she would hope he would be okay with it. And she also mentions that she's not used to, I don't have the exact word
skinny,
here.
I thought.
Yeah, so it was a skinny, delicate, something of that sort. She's not used to that type of man. And she's hoping that Gino can handle what she throws at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she mentioned that she wanted to spank Gino.
That is the one.
Yes. Were you trying to refrain from using the S word?
I didn't know. I didn't know where we were. But then we've also used dumbass already.
Yeah.
And we've also baby talked.
I don't think that's spank is bad.
I don't think so. Yeah. Could be worse.
Who's my little baby? Who's my little baby?
Okay. Now, so is he spanking coming with the baby voice of like, who's a bad baby?
I hope not. That's straight out of Mike Bloom's nightmare. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
No.
All right. So Jasmine, she has a woman named Griselle who comes in. Griselle's going to help decorate the room. And they put some flowers out.
They put some flowers out. They spelled the letters of their names.
Like, G and J.
Exactly. So they did that. We find out Griselle's one of her friends, right? The big thing we find out in this scene, Rob, is that we find out that Gino has lied to Jasmine before.
Yeah. Big so Gino told Jasmine that he was a bit younger than he actually is. And, for Jasmine, this is obvious that this was going to happen because I think it, helps really cement her worldview that all men lie and all men cheat.
Yes. It was that. That's the nail in the coffin, the confirmation for it. Like, nope, this is the thing that they do, because he shaved off 8 years off his age to her, said he was 44 when he's actually 52.
Mm-hmm.
So not good. Not a good start for Gino.
Yeah.
And like that kind of gives us more confirmation that, OK, we can see why she's specifically getting receipts beyond her past experiences now with Gino, too.
To the point where she tells us that Gino is not even allowed to be nice to another woman.
No, like that is, there could be ulterior motive there. It's mm-hmm. a big no-no. Mm-hmm. We learned last week he can't even ask the name of the person he's buying food from.
Yes.
That's a no-no.
Yeah. So no way, Gino, that he is not allowed to speak to any of the women. Jasmine has some real jealousy issues. The irony is that no women are trying to get with Gino. We don't even understand why Jasmine is trying to get with Gino.
Geno would be undrafted. Yes. Exactly. It's wild. Mm-hmm. The amount of worry she might be having with him. I think she has no reason to worry. Rob, the baby talk works for her though. So that's like, if she's into this baby talk, then who knows? Because Griselle, her friend, even was like, well, you don't trust them. Mm-hmm. You just don't. So why are you in this?
So, it really blows your mind why Jasmine is so worried about this. Geno will tell us later on the episode, it has been many years since he has known the touch of a woman. So it is not like that he is out there doing baby talk with a lot of other women.
No, he's just, he's ordered his pills. Mm-hmm. He's ready for this experience. And based on some of the gifts he brings, you can confirm that he has not known the touch of a woman in many moons.
Yes. Okay. So Geno touches down in Panama and Jasmine and Geno finally meet in person.
They meet Rob. They have a very warm embrace. They hug each other.
They have the baby talk. Then, yeah.
Geno says, give me the baby talk.
Give me the baby talk. Give it to me.
I want it live. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets it. Okay. She gets it and he gets it. And then they kiss. And then they kissed with their like masks on. So they like mask touched, which, I've never done. I don't know if that does anything for me, but
Yeah. I might have to try it one day.
We got to see what's the hype. Is it hype? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. So then Geno and Jasmine are going to head back to the hotel. And Geno is very impressed with this place. He says when he gets to the room, holy Toledo.
It's been a minute since I've heard anyone use that phrase, the holy Toledo of it all. Mm-hmm. He did a thing that I don't like. He got on the bed with shoes on.
Yeah.
I don't love that.
Yes. Well, he went to test out the bed. I feel like that Jasmine a little bit might have pushed him onto the bed. I don't know if he was necessarily ready to go onto the bed.
This is true. She did give him a little nudge over to the bed. Yes.
Now, this was one of the odd things that upon getting to the room, Jasmine says, let me check your teeth. And then like this is like the like dog show what is it called? Like the Westminster.
Yes. The Thanksgiving one.
Yeah. And like there, she's like, let me check your teeth. And she like is like pulling up his gums and like giving him a dental examination. Is she a dental hygienist? I mean, I might explain some other things later.
I mean, no, there's no way, especially with the next thing later, that'd be extra offensive. So I don't think so. But then she calls him her little shark. And then Rob, I was scarred because all I could think of was they probably are going to listen to Baby Shark later when they're doing stuff. And that's just scarring.
Are they
going to
say it in the baby talk voice?
Probably. I mean, more baby than Baby Shark. I feel like that'd be very too baby.
Who's Baby Shark? Who's Baby Shark?
Me.
Latina. Doot, 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 doot. Okay. When she gets Geno on the bed, she talks about the hat. The hat is coming off tonight.
Yeah, he was like, not yet. She was like, well, it's coming off tonight, so you better mentally prepare for it.
Okay.
Which, gives us an indication as to where the evening's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue, Rob, based on what we see following this, maybe those evening plans were dashed. Was it self-sabotage from Geno? We'll know in just a second.
Well, Geno comes bearing gifts for Jasmine. And so he brings her a present. He said, I have something for you. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? An electric toothbrush.
Yep. Not gift wrap, just with a bow on it out the box.
Mm-hmm.
Electric toothbrush. I thought it was a toy initially. It took me a second to be like, oh, it's an electric toothbrush. And she did not love it, but I will give Jasmine credit where credit's due. She did not let him know that she doesn't love it.
Yeah.
She kind of firmed it and then later gave us the eye roll.
Geno tells us that the gift is meaningful because the toothbrush spins at a very high rate, and a manual toothbrush just does not hit all the places that this electric toothbrush does.
Gino, when it comes to manual toothbrush, you are the spinner. Mm-hmm. So it depends on how much your model is working. Like you use your hands. So it was fascinating because he really thought this was like the, and he said also, I don't know if they have these in Panama. I don't think an electric toothbrush runs, what, more than $20?
Well, it depends what you get. I mean, you can like, so there's like things like the Quip, like things that have like a battery, like in the handle. But I mean, in fairness to Gino, this seemed like this was like sort of a high end, like a Oral B of like the thing that like has like a plug that you have like on the problem with that is then you always have to have a place on your sink for it.
Yes, you definitely need some bathroom real estate for this, especially if your sink is not big enough.
Well, yeah, I've done it all. I've done it all with an electric toothbrush, and you know, I find like I don't know, like you do it, and then I feel like now it's like I get like all this toothpaste like frothing up everywhere. Now I'm like the rabid dog, and I don't know what to do.
Foaming
and the
at
thing
the
is,
mouth.
Like do I got to turn the toothbrush off? So then I spit some of this stuff out because I don't want to take out the toothbrush while the things are spinning like so at such a high rate, because then toothpaste is going to start going everywhere. But then you turn it off and it's like up the timer, like it has a timer on it. So you're supposed to be going for the 2 minutes, and it's going to say, you didn't hit the 2 minutes.
It's like an endurance challenge.
I find it very messy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If I have to spend 2 minutes to brush and then like 3 minutes to clean, that is three minutes I've spent wasting my time. Mm-hmm. So I've also had an electric toothbrush. Maybe I didn't use it correctly. But Rob, here's the kindness of Gino's heart. He did bring her extra heads to use on the electric toothbrush.
Yes, more. Yeah. And she just said, thank you, baby.
Mm-hmm. It's very thoughtful of you.
Yes, but that wasn't all that Gino had for Jasmine. He has another present for Jasmine.
Ooh, I got these.
What is that?
Pregnancy test.
Pregnancy test. Pregnancy test. That's
Wow.
Here you go.
There you go. So yeah, his big plan. So what we were to understand from this is that Gino and Jasmine have talked about having a baby, like ASAP, like sooner than one would imagine. And his big thing that he said was, these are for like right when before I leave or after
here,
I leave.
You can use this is what he says. You have that?
We agree. We're both ready for it. So you can check yourself at the end of my trip.
Gino, you need to check yourself.
Now, present day. Yeah, relax.
Yeah, because you just wrecked yourself.
Yeah, you might not even get to do the baby making process with this attitude, like with this behavior.
I mean,
this is not great.
It's one thing if Gino brought the pregnancy test, is like, look, this weekend might get crazy. Just want to make sure that like after this is over, that we don't have anything to worry about. Well, I'm just being like very responsible here. But no, that's like, hey, I want to make sure we accomplish the mission. I understand the assignment.
Yeah. Gino, slow your roll. Like, you haven't even unpacked. Like, literally, you're in the process of unpacking. Like, you've gotten you're already talking about the end of the trip. Let's see how the trip goes first.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jasmine tells us, she's taking birth control pills.
Yep. Gino has no idea Jasmine is taking birth control pills. So those tests, we don't need them for now, Gino. Mm-hmm. It's a no-no for now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Jasmine rightfully tells us that, you know, he wants to hurry up and do this. I'm not quite there yet.
Right.
So I'm taking precautions, which good.
Yeah, because we met today.
Exactly. It's been 5 minutes. Let's see if we're compatible first.
Yeah. So let's give it a moment presumptive. This is the same guy that's like, where do you keep the couple's lotion Also, I'm going to need the pregnancy test.
Well, it totally makes sense, though, based on the fact that he was asking for couples lotion, that he just doesn't understand the etiquette with stuff like this. Like, he has no idea what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He's flying by the seat of his pants. It's wild to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So things seem pretty good other than, you know, this little hiccup with the pregnancy test. But then we see that Gino gets a message. And so Jasmine basically says, let me have the phone. Give me the password to the phone.
And we find out, first there's an awkward pause. Then we find out the password is his face because mm-hmm. he's using Face ID. And then she says, well, if you're asleep, then can I still use it? She's like, he's like, yeah. And then she thought, oh, amazing. Perfect. We don't even talk about this.
Does that work to, like, I thought that they changed that where if somebody is sleeping and their eyes aren't open, that the FaceTime recognition does not work.
I think that would be smart.
Let me try it. Let me see if this works right now. Okay. So
let's do it live.
Okay. Let me see if I can, I don't know if I'm doing it.
Rob's closing his eyes.
My eyes are already closed, but my phone is up. My phone got open. So.
Oh, there you go.
Let me see.
Oh, yeah. Maybe put it flat and then close your eyes, then hold your phone.
All right. So I have my eyes closed and I don't know. So that time it didn't work. So let me see. So this is not great podcasting, but
Rob looks like he's cutting onions right now.
No, I don't think it wasn't working with my eyes closed.
Hmm.
But then I opened my eyes. I looked at it and then it did work. Yeah. So Jasmine, you're going to have to like hold his eyes open and then.
Well, the wild part is I don't think Gino's the type of guy to say no to her if she says open your phone. So mm-hmm. I think she's going to be fine regardless here. But it was interesting that he got a text and she immediately, or a notification. For all we know, it was an Uber Eats promo code that just got shot to him.
Yeah.
To have 50% off. And she's just already upset.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Walgreens letting him know that they're having a sale on EPT.
Exactly.
Based on recent purchases. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, but Gino gives it over and, you know, says, yeah, fine. But, Jasmine needs to check to see if he's being a good boy. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Everything they say just feeds back into the baby talk. It's not even like they're having mature conversations in baby talk. It's that they speak in words that would be fitting for baby talk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they talked like they're a baby.
You know what Jasmine needs to do is buy Gino an Elf on the Shelf.
Why?
Gino will never do anything bad.
The Elf on the Shelf will watch him.
And it'll work for Gino. I just know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if Jasmine ever has some busy days and then forgets to move the elf, that can require a lot of explaining. I've heard some people have that issue.
I saw a TikTok where someone froze the Elf on the Shelf in a block of ice and then put it on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
For like a fun new way to have the Elf on the Shelf on display.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are wilding out with the Elf on a Shelf. Now they're like putting it like in a jar so they can like bring it places and stuff. Somebody's like pushing it like in the shopping cart in the supermarket.
That's so much. That is a lot.
It's a lot. Okay. Gino and Jasmine next week. It does seem like that they are going to manage to what they go to a restaurant and then Jasmine is accusing Gino of then having a thing with the woman at the restaurant.
Yeah. All because he wanted to leave a tip.
Yeah.
And she thought you have something with the waitress. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know the waitress, Jasmine.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, Jasmine seems like a lovely lady, but somebody really did a number on Jasmine in the past.
Jasmine has lost faith in men because men have given her no reason to keep the faith in them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and listen, Gino, for the big mess that he is, I would assume Now, watch me be wrong here. I would assume he's on the up and up with her. It's very clear that he sees her as his forever, which makes sense because she's also the one that returned the call.
Yeah.
You know, yep. So I don't see him doing anything nefarious like that for now.
No, I don't see that. The only thing I do wonder, Puya, is does Gino try to get Jasmine mad? Does he like the negative attention of that? Okay, that this is sort of like reaffirming that she's into me by if I talk to the waitress at Chipotle, then I know Jasmine's going to go nuts, and that this sort of reaffirms how into me she is.
I mean, that might be how he operates, Rob. That's very possible that he's learned or heard somewhere that if you make them jealous and then they fight for you, that means they like you. And it's his way of getting that reaffirming every time. It's very possible.
Because we saw last week, there was no reason why he had to ask the woman at the store, what's your first name? So let's just track that to see, is Gino, for no reason, making conversation with people that he does not need to.
I agree. And I will only throw this out because we haven't seen this episode. We'll dive into this episode coming soon next week. But I feel like in this specific instance, though, leaving a tip isn't him trying to do anything. Now, how generous was that? Was it 50%? Mm-hmm. Then maybe that's a different discussion. But if it's just like, 15, 20% tip, then I don't think he's trying to do anything about it. Because even if this is interesting. I feel like in this specific tip instance, even if he knows Jasmine would be upset, what is he going to do? Not leave a tip? That would be like, if he's especially used to tipping, that's pretty rude.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So we'll see what happens with our favorites, Jasmine and Gino, next time.
We'll find out then. And I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Let's dive in and talk about Mike. And Mike is going to be meeting Jimena.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Mike and Jimena. Although we don't see too much of Jimena in this episode. Maybe not next week. But we do a deep dive into Mike. Mike is working in IT support. He's a volunteer firefighter and he builds Legos for fun.
Yes, he does. That was the exact first minute of Mike. We got 34-year-old Mike. He was working on a Lego while telling us all this, but yeah, he also lives at home with his dad and grandfather, Rob. Yeah,
yep.
That's the other thing we learned. And then also we learned that he hasn't really had past relationships. He had a pretty serious relationship in high school for 1 year, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was all.
Mike is 34?
Yes.
Okay. And so, yeah, he is helps out his dad, and then him and his dad help out the grandfather. So Mike is a caretaker, even though grandpa, a little ungrateful. Mike makes him breakfast. Grandpa's like just drags him.
Yeah, they made him do the pancakes and then they roasted him to oblivion for these pancakes. Granted, pancakes are not difficult to mess up. So if he was, I see the roasting, but like,
yeah,
he seems kind hearted, right? Mike does.
I think
seems
the batter like was well. Bad that, I don't think that you can screw up a pancake like that unless you screwed up the batter.
Right. And he might have messed that up. That might be where it's a little
thin.
He put too much water.
Maybe he's making like crepes.
Which if you're trying to eat pancakes, but you get crepes, they're not quite the same. They're not going to hit the same.
No, so, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did he meet Jimena?
So what we learn about Mike is that he was not really having success with the women in America.
Yes.
So he promptly changed his location to Colombia, and through that, Rob,
wait,
he meets Jimena.
He changed his location to Colombia?
His search location. I don't know which app he's using. Also, I've been off the apps for many years now. So
he was looking for Colombia?
Yeah, he changed it over to Colombia.
Okay, but he didn't say he was in Colombia.
I don't think so,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what app is this?
I mean, we're the wrong two people to talk about that, because I feel like I've used the apps,
a special app for the change to I'm looking for Columbia. Does Tinder have this feature?
I think the premium Tinder has something where you can look anywhere, maybe. But I know that a lot of the couples in 90 Day will find each other on like international dating apps where the whole thing is like international.
Okay. So he met Jimena, who is 24.
Yes.
She lives in Colombia. She has two sons.
She has two sons. Yes. She has a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old.
And so like he's really, hot and heavy for Jimena. Did he use the L word?
I don't recall. It's not in my notes, but based on the character that is Mike, I'm going to say yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mike is very into Jimena, and he is going to, I guess, go to Colombia to go and see her. He has many skeptical friends and relatives.
There's not one person that said, go get him. There's not one person in this man's life that was fully endorsing this. Also, not for nothing, but he said the main problem they're going to have is their language barrier, because she doesn't speak any English and he speaks a little bit of Spanish. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's another thing as well.
He has a meeting with his brother, Steven, that he tells his brother that he's going to propose. Steven does not think that this is an amazing idea.
Yeah, Steven's the younger brother, and he tells us he feels like
an older brother.
Right. And we can quickly tell why, because Mike's brothers have been in long relationships and are married and have a whole family, whereas Mike is still living the same way he lived since he was 16. Mm-hmm. So they definitely feel skeptical towards all this. Mm-hmm. And it's not difficult to see why. I mean, Mike is definitely showing up very much like blinded by love. Like, I'm going, I've got a ring, I'm going to propose. And everyone's like, well, you've not met her, so maybe do that first. And obviously this is a staple in the 90 Day franchise.
Sure.
If you're seeing someone abroad, you have to legally have like two friends or family members who are skeptical on what you're doing.
They don't even let you on the show if like, I met this person and they're in another country and everybody in my life is very supportive of me. Like, well, we're sorry. You can't be on the show. People are too supportive. Tame. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have like an aunt who's going to be toxic about this? Okay, fine. You're good now. Yeah. We'll get you for the recall. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we see a sequence where Mike has a best friend. What was the best friend's name?
Mike's best friend's name was, let's see, John and wife Kelsey.
Okay, John and wife Kelsey. So they are going to go to the toy store because, look, Mike's not going to show up empty handed in Colombia. He needs toys for these kids, because basically he's going to be a dad now.
Essentially, that is what's going to happen.
Now, the man has a Lego collection.
Yeah, but Legos aren't for kids, Rob. That's what Mike would tell you.
Yeah, believe me. Yeah. they're going to go to the toy store, and John seems especially skeptical of Mike. Asking some probing questions.
Mm-hmm. Do you have this?
No, I don't have. I don't have the clip of John.
Okay. Yeah. Well, John was pretty incredulous about all this because the whole reason John and Kelsey are accompanying him is that they have a 3-year-old, and Mike thought, well, they have a 3-year-old. I'm buying presents for a 3-year-old. That makes sense. And John said something that I believe Uncle Marco said last week to Gino of like, what makes you think there's not like 10 other guys who are doing the same thing?
Right.
Because we find out that Mike has provided some financial help with, I believe, rent, with the washer. Mm-hmm. He's like invested in some other stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So, yeah, he's sending some money over to Jimena. And so then it's no surprise that he's going to drop some money at the toy store. And so you know, there's a great lineage on 90 Day Fiancé of the shopkeepers and clerks who work at these stores getting involved. And I think that John might have been kind of an a-hole throwing Mike under the bus to the woman that worked in the toy store about how, oh, he's going to Columbia. He's going to go. Did he out him that he was going to propose to the woman?
He said that he's going to be meeting his girlfriend for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's all these toys in front of him that he, cause
yeah. Who are these Mike toys for? Yeah.
100 to 150 bucks worth of toys. Also, the storekeep had this very interesting fashion choice where she had two glasses on top of each other, mm-hmm. which I've never seen someone do that. But listen, she was making it work. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was like, oh, wow, you're going to have a lot of surprises then, aren't you? And I was like, yep. John fed Mike to the toy lady. I'll tell you that.
So the toy lady, let's say she's a realist.
I think it's risky. But if it doesn't work out, I hope he gets a good cup of coffee anyhow.
I think it's risky.
She's a real one, Rob. I mean, you and I love a good cup of coffee, so I especially loved this line from her. It was great.
Yeah, but if it doesn't work out, I hope we get some good coffee.
I mean, the coffee's going to hit. Hopefully, that's at least going to be the consolation prize.
Yeah, hopefully there's a laboratory nearby.
Yeah, oh, we also didn't mention, but Mike is 5'4".
Yeah.
And his brother was 5'10". We do not know Jimena's height. So I'm intrigued to see how they stack up next to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she, like, it was fast because he mentioned it. So I feel like it's going to play something in the future. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. So we will see what happens. Looks like next time on, he gets to Columbia and then no sign of Jimena.
Jimena, nowhere to be seen. Yeah. This is not a Andrew and Amira situation because Jimena lives there. So I don't think we're going to have that. But I would be very interested in the storyline where, because Mike would look for Jimena, unlike Andrew looking for Amira. That much we know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why don't we then switch gears and why don't we talk about Kimberly and Soulja Boy?
Yes, please. Let's go ahead.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we got to see Kimberly. She's leaving. She talks with her mom. Yada, yada, yada. Right?
Yeah. The only thing I want to point out from this is that her mom might be the most supportive relative on this show, mm-hmm. on this season. Because the mom said, I'm going to take good care of myself. I'm going to make sure I'm completely safe so that you don't worry and you just have this once-in-a-lifetime trip. And all I could feel was sadness for the mom. And then subsequently, Kim, I have a feeling this is not going to be the type of trip she thought she was going to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think we're all pretty much on the same page of how this trip is going to go, except for Kimberly.
Yeah. It's risky. Hopefully she gets a good souvenir from Tanzania. Mm-hmm. That's what we can hope for. I mean, listen, if you told anyone the two-line summary of this couple, yeah, so they're a couple. The man was in a relationship with someone else on a previous season, and now she's flying to Tanzania to meet him while he's shooting a music video. The song title of the music video is Zara, which is another woman that isn't...
Another woman. Yep. Okay. All
right. So, wow.
Okay. So, now where is Usman set up?
He is in Nigeria.
Nigeria. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we see a little bit of Usman. He goes by the moniker King of Africa.
Self-proclaimed King of Africa, yeah. That Usman. Yes.
Yeah.
Rob, I want to tell you something. So I got a message from Juan Chappelle this past week.
Yes.
Who said, why do you two keep calling this man Soulja Boy? And I said, because that's his name. And I sent him some Soulja Boy music, and he was like, no, this is not Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy is Soulja Boy. So he's very vexed about this, our Chappelle is. Yes. He's so upset that they're sharing the same name.
He's welcome to come on in and talk about it.
Yeah, let us know. Yes. Chappelle, okay?
I mean,
but I will tell you, he's been listening to Soulja Boy's music and he is a fan. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, that he should be a fan because Soulja Boy says that he is going to be bigger than Michael Jackson. That might be a conflict of interest for Kimberly.
We've already heard that she's not ready to choose between the two of them. Mm-hmm. If she could, like she said that it would be difficult for her to pick. He mentioned three names,
big
right?
Three, the big
he
three.
He mentioned Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Chris Brown.
Yep.
And Jay-Z.
Yep.
Interesting three mm-hmm. to pick.
The three amigos. So,
yeah. Amigos, definitely. Okay. So that we learn. The other thing we learn is that he makes it very clear to us, Rob, what we thought we heard last week, where he literally calls Kimberly his potential. He doesn't call her his girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's all about how this meeting goes down for him. He's not locked down to Kimberly.
Yeah, and Kimberly thinks they're getting engaged.
Oof. Get the oof button ready. This is bad. It's going to be rough. Yeah. It's okay. going to be rough.
So I loved him meeting with his, I guess, brain trust, would you call this?
Yeah. His manager and his assistant.
Okay. Yeah. What were the names of these guys?
Okay, so I didn't get the manager's name down, but the assistant is Slam T.
Slam T, yeah. I think that one guy was named, the other guy was named, I have in my notes, Bad Moves and Slam T.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes.
Speaking of bad moves.
Kimberly should change her name to Bad Moves.
Yeah, so the guys, the entourage are not very supportive of Soulja Boy and having Kimberly come to the shoot.
Yeah, for an assistant, I really did feel like Slam T was giving Usman the business. He was like, you're bringing a woman to this video shoot. Quite frankly, that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I am not in, the rap and hip hop game professionally, I dabble, but only as like an amateur. But I would imagine, we're trying to cultivate an image around Soulja Boy. And I kind of feel like that image is not, I keep marrying 51-year-old women from the United States.
Right. Well, and that's what his brain trust tell him. They're like, they tell us that they feel like he's a celebrity and people will expect him to be with a younger person.
They're like, okay, well, we want to sort of cultivate this image. Hey, you're going to be the next Michael Jackson / Chris Brown / Jay-Z, I don't know if she's your Beyonce.
Right. Doesn't fit that profile. And then they put a face to the name of the song. They're like, we find out that the Zara was an actual person. Yeah. So apparently Zara is someone that Usman was talking to from America who then kind of did not end well / he got ghosted, I think. And his feelings are still there. So you add that combined with the cultivation of an image that they're trying to go for here, combined with the fact that, the woman you're inviting is this song isn't about that woman.
Right.
They could all see it from a mile away. Usman, for whatever reason, is like, but hey, any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
Oh, the best thing, it's so awkward. So he tells us he's not in love with Kim yet, but he loves her personality, her kindness, and her loyalty.
Yes.
So we'll see how that pans out for you, Usman.
I thought that the brain trust had kind of a sick burn on Usman, where he said, look, if anything is going wrong, we can stop. Like, it's already going wrong. What are you doing? You're marrying another 50-year-old.
Listen, Bad Moves didn't get his name from nothing. He knows a bad move when he sees one, and he will call it out.
Yeah, Slam T is going to slam you.
Oh my God, it's wild. It's wild to me that this is happening. Well, ultimately, Rob, I think I'm willing. I don't usually like speculating on who's doing what for what. I'm willing to put my bet down. Usman is 100% back again because his appearance on 90 Day gave him views for his music. Mm-hmm. And I think his plan is to get more of that, which I did not a deep dive, but I did listen to a bunch of his music this past week, you know, for research. And his music's gotten better since the last time he was on.
Oh, interesting.
It's definitely got, yeah, it actually sounds pretty good. I added one song to my liked songs. Now, hopefully I don't have a repeat of this year where a 90-day person ends up in my top three. Do you think this
is Kimberly's influence? Is she bringing some of like the Michael Jackson influence to Soulja Boy?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. That'd be very much complimenting Kimberly. I think he's figured out how to make his music work, because the last time his music had auto-tune and it was very clearly not well-polished, whereas now the auto-tune is more subtle and I think is better engineered. So I think it's he's figured out the sound that
Slam
works
T for him has
now.
Been working in the booth.
Slam T and then Bad Moves has made this a good move. Working on it harder. Yeah, it's been the brain trust knows what they're talking about, basically. And this is all, to me, a publicity stunt. And yeah, it's great that we get it, because it's going to get so ugly so quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's see what happens next week for Kimberly and Usman. So let's talk about Memphis and Hamza. And really not even that much Memphis, because it was really Memphis is packing and getting ready to go.
Yes. The best thing and the only real notable thing for me from the Memphis Hamza storyline was meeting Memphis's foster sister, Ingrid, who gave her the business,
yeah,
which was great.
Yeah,
I loved it a lot.
Ingrid read Memphis throughout the episode and does not like this idea. And most of the reasons why she doesn't like this idea is a lot of anti-Memphis takes.
Yeah, it wasn't to do anything with Hamza. Unlike other people that you see kind of put all the stuff on the other person, she put it on the person she knows. She said, Memphis tends to be impulsive, tends to be a hothead, be intimidating. Yeah. So red flags. And we saw multiple times Memphis use the same confessional of, I want my kids to have a good father figure and they will get that with Hamza. How do you know this?
FaceTime. FaceTime.
If being a good father figure is admiring boobies, then everyone's a good father figure. That's all she knows. From
Gino
Hamza.
Is a great dad.
Gino is dad of the century. Okay. Mark it down. It's just fascinating how confident she is that everything will work out when we've not seen nearly enough proof. We've seen none of Hamza to even see anything. Luckily, we're going to see him next week because she did end the episode on her way to the airport. So that's definitely going to come up. We need to meet Hamza. I need to find out, because a lot's going on here that I feel like Memphis has no reason to be this confident.
Yeah.
And then, Rob, we did get a nugget of information about some of Memphis's past dealings.
Yes. Okay. You want to drop that nugget on us?
Let's do it. Okay. So what we found out, and she's not told Hamza this, we found out that she was going through some stuff and she spent a couple of nights with her ex-husband. She specified in a non-intimate way.
Nothing happened.
Wink. Don't know. Okay. Don't know. But she spent a couple nights with her ex-husband, but she didn't tell Hamza this because Hamza is a jealous person or would see it as a negative thing, which I've said this because of another couple on a previous season, but I feel like you not saying is way worse. It seems like more bigger of a deal if you keep it to yourself.
But I feel like it's going to come out in the season.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if not anytime during the season, in the tell-all, it will for sure be put out there. So,
Yeah. So it's Chekhov's secret here on 90 Day Fiancé. We're definitely going to get the reveal. And we also have some shades of Brandon and Julia here with Memphis and Hamza, because we've seen the next time on, Hamza has told Memphis that she can sleep in his room when she gets there, but he is lying.
Yes. So she would be staying with Hamza's family for this trip. And Hamza's family were very adamant. His mom specifically, we saw, said that, yeah, I fixed her up a nice room. She'll sleep there. You sleep on this in this area. And they're not going to be sleeping together. So we'll see how that hits Memphis's 3-week plan that we learned about next week. Probably need to reschedule some stuff.
Yeah. So might screw things up. But really, not too much going on here with Memphis this week. It was really just her getting ready, going to the airport. She had Ingrid telling her, slow your roll. This isn't going to work. She was going to eat some bacon before she went to the airport. And she's worried she might not look sexy when she lands.
Yeah, a lot of people worried about not looking good when they land, which I feel like we all as a society know that no one's at their best leaving an airplane. Mm-hmm. So you should feel completely
maybe
comfortable.
Maybe if it's like a 90-minute flight.
Then you should probably be fine. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
more often than
30-hour flights, not doing a lot for people.
If you have a layover or you're changing continents, do not feel any type of way about how you look. You took a long trip. That person should be grateful you're there and you made the trip to see them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Puya, we only have one other couple to talk about, right?
That's right.
All right. Let's talk about Caleb and Alina as they are both traveling here.
Yes, both making their way to the lovely country of Turkey, the neutral ground that they've picked out, and the amount of douche bombs that were thrown in with this one Caleb, Rob. I can't stomach this guy. He is awful.
He's something else, Caleb.
He really is. Everyone else, it's like a pity awful. This is like you're just a douche awful, and that's the worst kind.
All right. Well, we start off with Caleb is going to go meet with his parents, and his parents know nothing about this. He's about to drop a lot of bombs on mom and dad.
Yes. So he tells us that he comes from a Christian background, from a Christian home, and he didn't if you're dating someone, then it's marriage. Like there's no other way about it. Like if you're with someone, it's got to be serious. And that was already an indicator to us that I don't think he's completely all in with this relationship or takes it as seriously. But then I would argue you've collected so many things about this relationship that you're about to throw on them, including I came here to get a suitcase to travel. They had no idea you were traveling and why. Now they know why. It's just bad decision o'clock, Rob.
Yeah, I'm going to Turkey. Really? You have a friend in Turkey? Like, yeah, it's my new romance. Yeah, things are getting serious. Like, really? We had no idea. Yeah. By the way, also that she's a little person. Okay. Wait, you guys have a problem with that? Yeah. Did I sense a reaction from you?
Yeah, they and the parents didn't take this well, but they definitely, like, we heard from mom. Mom told us that she doesn't want to say anything. She has to bite her tongue because Caleb's a risk taker, but she's happy that he's a risk taker.
It's a good thing. So, that's a good quality of him.
Right. And dad said that, yeah, he makes decisions that we probably wouldn't, but we don't want to penalize him for it, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, that mom and dad ask about if they can have children. And he's like, guys, I didn't think about it yet. All right. Why can't you be happy for me?
Yeah, it's like I live in the moment. Like, yeah. That's how I operate.
All right. God. So, all right. So he's going to pack up. Meanwhile, Alina is also getting ready for her trip, and Alina is going to have her friend come with her. What was the friend's name? He got a lot of airtime in this episode.
Elijah.
Elijah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Elijah, boy, how lucky is anybody to have a friend like Elijah?
Elijah is the MVP of the non-couple people, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Elijah looks like he has the hairstyle like he just won the Squid Game.
Yes, he definitely has that Squid Game winner's edit hairstyle going.
Yeah. And he's there to help out. So this is going to be good that he's going to help get Alina to where she needs to be to meet up with Caleb.
Yes. And he really goes above and beyond for Alina in every way, shape, or form you could imagine. Alina's so lucky to have a roommate like him, and their friendship is beautiful. So I'm very happy that they have each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So meanwhile, back at Caleb's house, back in Arizona, Caleb is packing for the trip. He's got ready. He needs all the essentials, Puya.
First, he's got three of them.
Big three. Okay. One, protein. Gotta look. Where am I going to get my protein in Turkey? Okay. I'm going to bring all my protein with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bulking season stops for no one.
No.
So,
no. Okay. No. Number two, need the tarot cards. I might need to do a reading. Need the cards.
Never know.
And number three, I need the condoms. Okay. Look, I'm not bringing any EPT pregnancy test with me. Caleb is a sexual person, Puya.
Of course.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I will add the brand of condom from Caleb that he shows us on television appears to be the brand known as the Magnum Condoms.
Good to know.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So first of all, Caleb, don't lie to us. Okay. Stop it. Second of all, I love that he sandwiched tarot in his super Chad items to be like, listen, but I'm still earthly. I'm a deep thinker. Yeah.
So Puya, look, Caleb, he is just thinking, look, things might go in a different direction, but you know, it might be different.
My religious upbringing. I'm a pretty sexually open person, so I'm excited but a little bit anxious because with Alina, a lot of the things you take for granted in regular size sex are off the table. Like, you can't make out and have sex. They're either on you or they're up here.
I mean, these aren't even the things that people are thinking about, Puya.
Yeah, who's taking, he mentions taking things for granted. Who is taking making out and oh my God. And then he calls it regular size. Like, Caleb, you should have never come on this show. The internet will have you, sir. We're going to have you, okay? You made a big mistake, pal, and we're all here ready.
Mm-hmm.
I got a headache from how big I eye rolled, Rob. It was so much.
Right. So we got to see them together. Have we seen like them have like any conversations? Like what do they talk about, Alina and Caleb? Well, like what's it like when they're conversing?
Right. We've not really seen, you know, you're right. We know what Memphis and Hamza talk about. We definitely know too much of what Gino and Jasmine talk about. We don't know much about their conversation. And based on what his mind is on and what he's focused on and concerned about on this trip, you can tell they've not talked enough based on the accommodations, the trip planning, what he tells his parents. Yeah. I have no idea.
Look,
what these
it's possible. About. I mean, Alina was with the suitcase that her mind seemed to be maybe on some similar things. But I think the only time we've seen them have like a conversation was when Caleb had sort of a negative reaction to that Elijah was coming on the trip.
That was the only time we really got a clear cut one. And as far as them having their minds on similar things, I agree. But I think they didn't talk logistics or expectations at all. Because he's telling us what he's concerned about, but he hasn't talked to her about any of it. So,
right. Yeah. Right. All right. So then we're going to see Alina. Then I guess they have arrived in Turkey and they're picking up another person, Mary. Right,
no, so they arrive to Turkey. They're getting picked up by Alina's friend, Mariah, who she went to university with, who lives in Turkey.
Yeah. Okay. Alina is talking about how she's a little nervous about sharing the room with Caleb. But it seems like the biggest thing she's concerned about is what if she needs to use the bathroom at a time when Caleb is in there. She is shy, might not be able to drop a deuce if Caleb is around.
That's very fair, like when you first meet someone concerned to have. Definitely been one of those worries that I've had in the past too. Not so much the going about doing it, but like the worry of, you know, any bad smells or messes.
Okay. I got it.
You looked confused, yeah. So I got a spell.
Yeah, that I understand. I've been a human.
I've been a human once upon a time. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. She's concerned about that.
Yes. But of all the issues, that's what she's concerned about. So they go to the check-in with the hotel, except this dummy Caleb has booked a hotel that is not handicap accessible.
No. And to dive in further, that means zero elevators. And they're on what, the third floor?
It's like the second floor, but I think that there are more stairs that they have to go up once you get to the second floor.
Right. So Alina has to access all this through the staircase, which we could tell was a difficult time. She was already, the minute she found out there's no elevator, this is not going to be good. This is why I brought up the whole logistics thing. This has not been something that's been on his mind, nor something that he's really asked about, because in no world should this have been the hotel they end up in, given Alina's condition and the difficulties of going up and downstairs.
Yeah. So they ultimately do get Alina up there. But you know, Alina is really not thrilled with how this could have gone and how inconsiderate Caleb could have been. And you know, that she said this a couple times, is he even like thinking about what this is going to be like?
I think survey says no. Yeah. I really think
he's thinking about, I'm going to pack my condoms
and my protein
Yeah.
Do you have to work out when having protein, or you can have protein and then like go for a stroll?
So from what I understand on my limited knowledge if you want to gain muscle, you need to have a, you need the resistance. You need to like break down the muscle. But I think that to maintain muscle, I think you also are going to need to get a certain amount of protein in your diet. But I suspect that he will be continuing to train in Turkey.
It certainly sounds like it. So then if that's the case, he's done more planning for his workout regimen than he has for Alina's accommodations, which speaks miles to what we should expect from him.
Well, that might be part of his, like, yeah, I got a place that didn't have an elevator because I am going to be carrying you up the stairs. That was going to be my workout.
You know, that's probably how he's going to justify it.
He's like, that's why I didn't want you to have a friend there. I want to be the one to carry you up the stairs.
That's my plan.
That was my plan the whole time. Why do you think I'm not bringing like all my exercise equipment?
Right. Also, worth noting, Alina does not like the decor of this room at all. She thinks it's ugly.
Well, I mean, come on. What do you want? It's, you know, hard to pick out, a hotel. Like, you're lucky Caleb got a room.
Right. I mean, you can only hope for so much from Caleb.
Right. Right. Okay. So everybody is starting to, you know, head to the airport. I will say bad job on 90 Day Fiancé. We don't even get Caleb and Alina meeting in this episode. We have MVP Elijah, a.k.a. Tony Stark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's going to iron her outfit, calls himself Iron Man. And
I love that.
They're getting ready to go. We see Caleb. He has arrived at the airport, Puya. He says he's not smelling great.
Yeah, he was not happy about his stench. He was in the bathroom trying to dab off with like.
I've never seen this before, so it seems like there's like he's like in the airport restroom, and then he's just gonna like do like a paper towel pat down of his pits and God knows what else.
If that's not gonna be enough. Like I feel like the residual is still gonna be there. Maybe reapply is what I would suggest. But listen. He there's more things for him to worry about because he's not prepared for anything. We did see Alina tell Elijah, "Hey, would you be okay? I kind of want the first time I meet him to be just us. Would you be down with coming to the airport and then leaving?" And Elijah was like, "Well, then why would I come to the airport?" And she said, "Well, I'm scared. I don't want to go alone." Mm-hmm. And obviously, Elijah's the nicest person. Yeah. He'll do it.
Yeah. What's in this deal for Elijah?
Honestly, I'm just hoping Elijah got airfare and accommodation sorted because room and board is that's at least worth the price of having because once Elijah meets Caleb, I know Elijah is going to give us everything we need about this assessment.
Right. I don't think that Elijah is going to be a fan of Caleb. I think he's going to see through Caleb like the rest of us.
Exactly. We saw right through him. Now, did we see him in the next time on? I don't think we saw them in the next time on.
You think they might get the bye week?
I think they might get the bye week, especially because we're getting the
new couple
coming in.
Yeah, and it seems like they're going to be a lot.
They're going to be a lot. I think they might get the second feature behind Gino and Jasmine, potentially. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, so we'll see. But anything else strike you as being particularly compelling next week?
Let me see. So, Kim is with Usman and his team. They're going to have some harsh language. They're going to be mean to her. They're going to be shady towards her in the car. So that's going to be interesting to see. And also I would love to find out. I think we're getting a jump scare. I don't think Mike is stood up at the airport, but it does tickle me that he could be potentially. I think Mike's going to have him in there. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Gino and Jasmine goes without saying that I'm excited for them already. I want to see them next week now.
Okay.
So,
all right. Puya, anything else about week two of Before the 90 Days?
I think that this was ultimately a slower episode, especially if you consider the fact that the premiere and this were the same length. Mm-hmm. This was definitely a bit of a more of a slog, but it set us up for the weeks to come. And we still got some good couple moments. And then the ones that didn't have a lot, thankfully, they didn't just give us a lot of nothing. We kind of like Memphis and Hamza. We got one scene. We moved on. It was great. So it was good.
Yeah, I mean, we really got Gino and Jasmine to this point in the first episode. But for everybody else, there was a lot of like, oh, I hope this works. I'm nervous. Let me get on the airplane. Let me see. Oh, we're going to meet. You need that scene in every 90 Day Fiancé story. So we ultimately basically got it with every single couple this week.
Exactly. And you know, I think they've set us up perfectly for next week. Next week's episode looks to be a lot of fun. So I'm very optimistic about what we're going to get moving forward.
All right. Puya, I know you have more to come on 90 Day The Single Life. Anything you want to say here before you go solo on go single on The Single Life?
No, I mean, all I will say is thank you for everyone who listened thus far. If you're going to be checking out from here, you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. And also, my better half was on with Rob talking about the finale of Survivor on the voicemail. So definitely check that out. And we also wrapped up Masked Singer completely now. The finale for that is also up on your feed. So you can check that out as well.
All right. Puya, can't wait to talk more 90 Day Fiancé with you next week. And we'll come back with Puya talking 90 Day The Single Life right after this.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé The Single Life recap, episode 6 this week, titled Leave You and Deceive You. And let me tell you this. They are deceiving us with the level to which they're showing some of these people on the show. Stephanie once again gone from the episode. Again, I'm not complaining. My life is fine. But why are you on the season at all? You know, just don't be here. It'd be better for me. My life would be better. But it's fine. We can move on from that. We have a lot to talk about here, folks. So I'm just going to dive right on in and tell you all about what I remember from this episode and give you the heads up. So first and foremost, let's talk about Big Ed. Because the last time we saw Big Ed, there was a whole shooting scare at in Mexico, and everyone started ducking, and they were talking about praying. We find out that this was a miscommunication between two different authorities, and ultimately it was not a big deal. It was fine. However, something that happened here I was not okay with is that Big Ed ends up inviting Keori back to his place to, you know, basically calm down kind of thing. And Keori was kind of like at the restaurant, you could tell she was very much shaken up and embarrassed. She was like not happy about the fact that her town was being represented this way. And she wasn't happy about that with Big Ed. Big Ed reassures her everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. So Big Ed tells the cameras then he's feeling closer to Keori after the situation. And he, you know, like I said, he tells her, you want to come back to my hotel room so you can calm down. She said, thank you. And he basically also says that he doesn't want to be alone at the moment either. Now, the reason I didn't like this from Big Ed is because I don't trust Big Ed. I don't like Big Ed. I feel like this is a little shady. And then he talks about, what's it called? He talks about potentially there being a silver lining to all of the stuff that just happened to them. And like things do happen for a reason. This is why I don't like Big Ed. Okay. And ultimately they chit chat a little bit at his place, and the conversation comes up to, well, you know, we didn't get to have dessert. And ultimately they decide, let's have dessert tomorrow. Let's have coffee tomorrow. And he says, can my mom come? Can my mom come? And so he invites his mom and his puppy to go to this, second date. Keori agrees. I don't know if Keori fully understood what the invitation was, but that is what happens with him. And essentially he has now planned another date with Keori in the form of course, them going to this coffee shop with his mom and his dog. Now that's going to be very awkward. I imagine it's Big Ed. And y'all already know how Big Ed operates, so we're going to be fine to figure all that stuff out together, okay? So then we can move on. Before we go any further, let me quickly tell you that Stephanie is going to be on next week, and Stephanie's hanging out with this guy who allegedly she knows from her past, like they used to be an item potentially. So she's talking to him, and like maybe they're going to rekindle stuff. I don't know. But do I care? That's the question. And the answer is no, it's Stephanie. So I don't care. Okay. And if you listened to the podcast earlier, Rob did ask about this stuff, about the whole jarred farts. That is about the full extent of it. Okay. The other thing is I want to tell you is that in the next time on with Big Ed, they're like at this garden type thing. And he's talking about, do I make my move now? I'm feeling connection. Should I go for the kiss? I'm uncomfortable with Big Ed, okay? I don't like it. I don't want Big Ed to have success here. Because, again, I feel like his fate in this season has already been spoiled. So I don't love that. And when I say it's spoiled, if you want to go looking, and I'm not going to give it away, and maybe I did earlier, some of these things become a blur, go and check the people.com article with regards to Big Ed, and you will see all you need to see. Okay. The next person we can talk about here is Debbie. Okay. So Miss Debbie went on her date with Jay. We didn't see the date play out last week. All we saw was that Jay made no attempt to compliment Debbie on her brand new makeover, which we were very upset about because Debbie went out there and did her thing. And Jay was, to put it lightly, did not deliver the goods as far as being complimentary or kind to Debbie. Now, they go to this, what I can only describe as like a dive bar. And it looked like it didn't look like the best place for a first date. So they go to this dive bar and Jay is just not talking. It's awkward, very awkward. And you can tell that both of them are playing this battle in their head. The battle for Debbie is, I don't want to get friend zoned again. And the battle for Jay is, I want this date to go well. I think I couldn't tell based on his face, but then ultimately Jay offers to go pick. They have some games here. Should I go get a game? Yes. They get an icebreaker game where they essentially get to ask each other a bunch of questions back and forth, back and forth. And you know, it's nothing too big. Okay. It's like little questions, little stuff. But it does end up working for them. By the looks of it, it definitely brought Jay out of his shell. Debbie felt good about this. The date seemed to be going well until Jay said, and I'm quoting, I have work in the morning, so I need to go. I'm leaving. And immediately you could tell Debbie's face. She was worried she's about to get friend zoned and that he's not happy. Okay. I was feeling everything for Debbie. I felt bad for Debbie, but we did learn, okay, that it was indeed genuine. Jay needed to go to work in the morning because he asked Debbie out on a second date. And also when he drove her home, he like opened the door. He walked out to her door and said, well, I got to make sure you get home on time or not on time. Sorry. Safe. So he stood by her door as she was about to go in, gave her a hug and then told us, I don't kiss on the first date. And I thought, yes, Jay. I can tell. Okay. I can tell. So Jay leaves Debbie. Debbie seems very happy that she is now in a second date zone, no longer in the friend zone for Debbie, and everything is looking up. Although I will say, Jay doesn't seem like the one, but Debbie's just happy not to be friend zoned. Therefore, I am happy for Debbie. Now, the next time on for Debbie actually looks pretty tragic. She's going to see an apartment with Colt. And this apartment has like bugs and they've got like all these screws and boards out. And the realtor says, we've had problems with squatters. So it sounds like a nightmare house. We'll learn more about this nightmare house when we get back to it next week. But I am excited to see more Debbie on the screen. Honestly, she's been actually one of the more positive spots for me this season. Which now we can move on to a spot in the season that is intriguing, but not positive. Okay. And that spot belongs to one Jesse and Jennifer. Now, Jesse and Jennifer, when we last saw them, of course, they were on this date with Kakua there and their friend there. And it was very awkward because Kakua is literally taking this as a pissing contest and is trying to say, I'm never going to leave. Jennifer is like with me no matter what, blah, blah, blah. And he keeps asking Jennifer, like, have you told him about me or whatever? And Jesse tells us in confessional that it's pretty obvious the energy between Kakua and Jennifer is different. He says, I don't speak Spanish, but the vibe is off. Something's going on. And it was definitely very awkward. Jennifer wanted to evaporate from her seat and, Kakua starts asking, what are your intentions with Jennifer? I want to know more. And what's wild to me is that Jennifer is the one translating to Jesse. You would think she would just say whatever she wants to say, but she's full on like translating everything. And he tells, Kakua, you know, I see her as a queen. Kakua says, well, do you think you can satisfy her? Like, do you think you can do that for her? Do you think you can fulfill that for her? And Jesse starts getting more uncomfortable and starts pounding back the drinks. And then the next question Jesse puts out is, were you guys in a relationship? And my jaw was on the floor. Jesse having this read was wild to me. Jennifer then says, obviously, we were friends since we were kids, but I haven't told you this. But, and then they have like these awkward gazes and she says like a short time we dated. And this is important because Jesse then tells us that he had no idea anything like this was happening, right? We already knew that Jesse thought Jennifer had just not been with anybody for a long, long time. That is not true. Okay. And when she tells Jesse that she's, you know, they dated for about 2 months, Jesse starts turning red a little bit. To the point where Kakua comments, you look red. It was so awkward. And then Jesse tells us that obviously he feels like he's been lied to. He's been deceived. And if you are someone who knows Jesse, who knows Jesse's past with Darcy, this is the type of thing that Jesse will never let go. And while I do agree that Jennifer should have told him, I feel like Jesse's ass is going to use this as ammo until this relationship is over. Jennifer will never be able to let this one live by because he's never going to let it go. And in the car, there's some questioning about, you know, well, what was this? Like, were you effing for 2 months? Like, no, she's like, were you intimate? And she says, no, we weren't intimate. And then in confessional, she tells us that, well, technically, like, intimate is such a strong word. I wouldn't say we had that. I feel like you have intimacy with just some people, which I thought, Jennifer, you're playing a little fast and loose with definitions here, because the way she was answering it, y'all, made it seem like they did stuff, but it doesn't fall under the umbrella of intimate, because intimate is deeper than that. You know, so it's like, for example, to use a different phrasing, someone saying making love, you know, for a couple who are like very much close, or having sex, maybe in a one night stand type situation. So, well, we didn't make love. It's like, but you did the thing that Jesse's clearly implying, maybe. But then she assures us that they've not had sex. She tells the producers we didn't have sex. And then the producers tell her, like, well, Kakwa told us you were the best he's ever had. And then they showed us the flashback receipt of Kakwa literally doing a confessional where he said that she was the best he has ever had. And then she tells us that, oh, Kakwa's just showing off. He's just flexing. And I believe what Jennifer meant by that was, oh, he's just lying to like seem cool or seem like he's done something, but it's not true. So that's kind of where that is left. And we don't quite know where it's going to go. And then the next time on makes things a lot more complicated, because the next time on they're having dinner with Jennifer's mom, and it sounds like Jesse's about to leave soon, and Jennifer's mom doesn't know where this relationship's going. So I thought this whole season was going to be Jesse with Jennifer together, but it sounds like he's leaving soon. I don't know where they're going to go from here. I don't know if they're going to be back together in one space again during this season. I assume so. It's only 6 episodes deep. I assume he's coming back. Maybe he had to leave for business. They haven't elaborated, but there's some intrigue in the Jesse-Jennifer relationship, but I fear that Jesse is going to bring back shades of his old self that go away from him being a meme to him being like gaslighty and annoying. So I'm not excited for that. Ideally, he keeps in the meme lane because that's where he functions best, where we can rag on him and it's a fun time. All right. So there's where he is, and that's where we can leave him now and move forward to the last person on this episode, which is Sinjin. So Sinjin and Tanya had a very weird relationship, right? This much we know, because they broke up, but they're living together, but they're like sleeping together here and there, and they're doing each other's laundry. But then Sinjin gets on this dating app, and Tanya's not happy about that at all. Tanya says, you have to leave if you're doing that. So now we arrive at the last day before Sinjin's leaving. And it seems like they've both agreed mutually to have like one last night together. And that sounds exactly like what you would imagine. It sounds like they're going to, you know, cuddle up together and like spend some time together for the last time, seemingly. But not before they get into a big arguing match during this episode. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. So what happens here is that, they get dressed or whatever. They go outside to sit on the patio and have some drinks. And Tanya brings out their like wedding glasses. They put some drink in it and they start talking. Sinjin says, cheers to the wedding, and they cheers to it and drink, which is like, y'all are breaking up. Sinjin also tells Tanya that she looks sexy, and then he says that he's sad that this couldn't last. And sure enough, as one would imagine, things start getting messy there, because then Sinjin gets in his feels, talks about how he is sad and that they did so much and the relationship didn't last, blah, blah, blah. And Tanya tells us in confession, this is a confession shared between the two of them, that she thinks that Sinjin didn't try as much as she tried. And Sinjin immediately talks about just the we're fighting all the time, blah, blah, blah. So Sinjin doesn't even address that part. But Tanya says, you know, I've always tried to make an effort. So it sounds like Tanya, through the fights, wanted them to learn something, move on from it. But Sinjin was like, we're fighting, and not really working about it. And the other dynamic they talked about was that he kept wanting to put her first without putting himself first. And then when it came to this relationship, it just got muddied and he didn't want her, like he didn't want to move when she offered to move because he knew she wanted to be there. And Sinjin sees this as her putting everything on him, blaming him for everything. And he got very defensive. He got loud. He got yelly. And he got in her face, basically, and it got ugly, and she left, and he stayed in the backyard crying while drinking, like, I just wanted us to have one last night, one last cuddle. And then he breaks the glass. The wedding glass got broken, by the way. Then he took his shirt off and slept on the couch in the living room. They made up the next morning in, like, a tear fest of goodbyes. And by made up, I mean, like, just amicable goodbye, basically, in tears, and they hugged, and then he, like, cried as he drove off. There you go. That ends the Sinjin story with Tanya. Now, are we going to see Tanya again? I would be shocked if we don't hear from Tanya again during this season. She was a part of 90 Day after all, so I imagine we're going to see her for sure. And then, of course, last but not least, I don't know if I forgot about her or not, I said last but not least earlier, but Natalie was on this episode. Now, the reason why I may have forgotten about Natalie is that Natalie had one scene and one scene only, and she was on the beach with two of her friends, okay? And they were giving her advice and, to be honest, a little bit of shade for the way things ended with Johnny. They did not understand why she wouldn't open up to Johnny and let her and Johnny be close. And I thought Natalie made herself abundantly clear. She told him back off. She told him, no, like, don't touch me. I don't want to be close like that. He didn't listen and she reacted accordingly. Albeit I will never endorse physical contact like that. She admitted that obviously she like snapped in that moment. She apologized to Johnny on the spot, but her friends didn't understand what she meant. And Natalie kept saying that it's very hard for her to let someone in like that. And I think this is both a combination of how Natalie sees relationships, how she feels within her living, within where she comes from, that she doesn't want to get close intimately like that with anyone unless like they're go further down. And also I think part of it is like how her and Mike happened, right? Cause you know, she let the last person she let in hurt her. And I think she's still dealing with that hurt. So that is kind of where they left it. She kind of talked her heart to the friends. They embraced on the beach and then that was it. So that's the end of the recap here. I hope you had a good time listening, and I hope this made sense. Happy holidays to those of you observing. I hope you all have a lovely end of December. This isn't the last time you're going to hear from me before the new year. Me and Rob will, of course, be back to talk about episode 3 of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Day season 5, and I'll be back to talk about episode 7 of The Single Life, if both of them are going to be on TV, which, to be honest, I probably should have checked the TLC schedule to make sure that 90 Day would be on. I don't see why not, because it would end up being on Boxing Day, so the 26th. I don't think that's going to be a clash in their programming, but I'll quickly check here for y'all while we're all here together. Yes, there will be a new episode next week titled First Date, Second Thoughts. So definitely tune in for that. Rob and I will be talking all about that. You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I really do appreciate y'all. If you're not subscribed to this feed, please do so at robswebsite.com/90dayfiance. You can also leave a rating or review for us there. That'll allow people to find us. You've already given me so many reviews and I really do appreciate it. But if you haven't, feel free to do so. I'm very appreciative for you sticking it out with me these 20 minutes. Take care, stay hydrated, happy holidays. And remember, at least we're none of these people. And that makes us what? Amazing. Bye, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.